Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob here, and we've got a very fun podcast coming up today. I am sitting down with your reigning Mr. Survivor, Malcolm Freeberg, to talk to him about a number of different topics, including his background, his thoughts on the new Survivor, and of course, what he thinks of this year's upcoming Mr. Survivor competition, and much, much more. So it's going to be a very enjoyable interview that I recorded with Malk in person here at Podcast One. Now, today is Friday when I'm posting this podcast. And of course, for those of you guys who have been following the podcast closely, you know that on Fridays, we are posting the new chapter of our audiobook about Survivor strategy throughout the seasons. And today, our new chapter is going to be the Pearl Islands chapter, where myself and Josh Wigler break down a very fun season of Survivor. It's almost 9 hours long, talking all about Survivor Pearl Islands. So if you want to see more about that, or check out the entire first chapter of the Evolution of Strategy, all about Survivor Borneo, it's 6 hours long. You can get that first chapter completely for free. Go ahead and check it all out at evolutionofstrategy.com. It's a really, really fun experience. The whole first volume of 10 seasons will be out before the start of the new season, one new chapter a week. The entire first volume covering seasons 1 through 10 is going to be 80 hours long. So we're getting you through the Survivor off season one way or another. But today we are talking with Malcolm here on Rob Has a Podcast. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with a very special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am sitting here in person in the studios of Podcast One with your reigning Mr. Survivor, Mr. Malcolm Freeberg. And I am so sorry, Mr. Survivor, I've forgotten the bell at my house. So you will get the water bottle today.
See, that's I can take crinkly water bottle, but it's okay. I forgot something too. I have this belt that I was intent on bringing, but unfortunately, the blind monks I have polishing it are still working.
Okay, well, in lieu of the bell and the water bottle, I will give you a Tony Lama sound. Okay, so there you go. So first off, Malcolm, how are you doing?
Well, I was actually just explaining to you before we started that I got into a motorcycle accident about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I see. I've been concerned about the whole motorcycle thing for a while now, and this does not help alleviate my concerns.
You, mother, girlfriends, everyone yes. who comes and goes
me
in my life.
Me and all of the women you know.
Yeah, basically. Yes. Get very nervous about this.
Yes.
I T-boned a Cadillac, actually, about a week and a half ago. It wasn't my fault. Little old lady did a left turn right in front of me on PCH.
Yeah.
I slammed on the brakes quick enough, but the bike, I just heard from the insurer, is totaled, and I landed on top of her car.
Yeah.
So not the highlight of my life, but I ended up okay. I got this gnarly bruise on my leg. I'd show you, but it's a little too close to the private parts.
Okay, fair enough. We'll use our imagination. I'm very concerned about this because in my mind, I feel like you're the closest thing I know to Jax Teller. And this is a dangerous life that I don't want you to be. You're not in like a motorcycle club, are you?
I mean, I don't fit in there. I have the hair, but I do wash it occasionally, so I don't quite fit in.
Okay. So you're just a solo guy on a motorcycle. You're not like part of a gang or anything like that.
I mean, not that I'm going to admit to on your podcast, but
yes.
The thing is, people don't always understand. LA traffic is as miserable as you've heard. And
yeah.
I should explain, I live 45 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
And whenever I want to come to this side of the city, the fastest way to do that in California is to ride your motorcycle on the highway in between the lanes.
Is that why you have it, to get around the traffic?
That is why I got a motorcycle. I've been in LA for 3 months maybe. And I was like, this is the most miserable thing ever. I bought myself a motorcycle. I took a class, and it's been like that for about 3.5 years now.
Are you from here originally?
No, I was born in Texas, grew up in Georgia. I'd only been in LA for about 4.5 years now.
And how did you get here?
So what happened was right after college, I taught overseas in Micronesia.
Yes.
I was an elementary school teacher for a year. And while I was there, I mean, there's 4 white people within communication distance mm-hmm. for a year. And one of them, who became my best good friend, grew up in Redondo Beach, which is in South LA.
Yeah.
And we both didn't have any plans after that year. Both realized we didn't want to be teachers anymore. So you know what? I bet I can get us jobs and bars back where I grew up. And that's kind of how life in LA started. It's supposed to be a year thing. And now it's been 4.5.
So you just came out here with the wish of bartending?
I That literally was the plan. I packed up my truck. I knew only one person in Los Angeles and moved into a place with a couple strangers. And the plan was to start bartending, make a little money, kind of enjoy myself for a bit. Ended up going very well. I managed bars for a while. I quit that once Survivor started. And then, again, it was supposed to be a year in LA, and it just keeps spiraling and spiraling.
Yeah, and how old are you when you come to Los Angeles?
So I must have been 23.
Yeah, and are you saying, I'm going to come to LA and we're bartend, and then I'm going to also do acting stuff? Like, was there any of the like traditional stuff that you would think of with Los Angeles that appealed to you, of writing, acting, anything in the Hollywood world that drew you here as well?
No.
Yeah.
I came to LA to work in a bar because I had a job. Somebody explained it to me. So, or it was a family member. So most people move to LA, Malcolm, because they want to work in TV and movies and they end up working in a bar. You had no interest in working in TV. You started working in a bar and then you ended up on TV.
Yeah. And I don't know this about you. I know that you are a big fan of the show beforehand, but are you approached because you're in a bar, or do you make a tape to go on to Survivor?
No, I made a tape. I made a tape when I applied twice. And the first time I applied, I was in college still. I just turned 21. And that was the year that they dropped the age to 18 to apply. I was furious. I remember that.
Yes.
And that would have been the first fans versus favorites. And I think that the timing in my brain, we worked it out. Reichenbach got, like, we were both the young,
yes,
goofy looking guys.
Yes.
At the time. So that was the first time I applied. And then what happened was I got out here. And it was one of those, I saw something, like, they're casting, like, I'm doing that again. Like, I had gotten the call back the first time, didn't end up making it. I'm going to do it again. So I wasn't approached. I just sent another video in, and I went through the process.
And so when you are coming out here, is that sort of in your head also of, okay, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to 10 bar, and then I'm also going to go and do Survivor? Because for me, like, part of my plan when I was 23 years old was that, like, okay, I have a boring job, but I'm going to go on Survivor or Big Brother, and then that'll be exciting, and then maybe something else will happen to me in my life, and I won't just have to sit here at this boring job anymore.
I moved to LA literally just to work in a bar, and I moved up very, I was managing a nightclub at 24.
Mm-hmm.
I was moving up very quickly, and honestly, when I got on Survivor, always wanted to do it. That's not an exaggeration. But it was never like, maybe that'll manifest into something else.
Yeah.
It was the idea, if I won Philippines or Cameroon, I'm going to, like, run away, move to like a tax haven and open like a little beach bar. And that would be life. But it didn't work out that way. So it was never the plan to have it parlay into other things.
And what did you do on the tape?
The one that worked is, woke up and literally I found out 2 days later casting was closing. Back in the day, they had like very firm days. So I don't think It works that way anymore.
Now it's like any time of year.
Just send in a video if you have something.
They find you the day before they're leaving, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I heard that was one of the guys this time. But the very hard date was like 48 hours. I woke up and my girlfriend at the time, Christina, was, stayed over. And I said, I want to make a Survivor tape. And Survivor's one of these, I don't know if this is the same with you, maybe, necessarily. Because back when you were on it, everybody watched Survivor. You don't always admit you watch Survivor.
Yeah.
Especially like to, you know, I don't know. You don't always admit you watch Survivor. She goes, you watch Survivor? I didn't even know that show was still on. So I'm like,
oh boy.
Yeah. I she lost points very quickly. The relationship didn't last much longer. Actually, it only lasted another month. Anyways, I woke her up and here's my camera. Film me for 10 minutes. I just walked around the house running my mouth.
Yeah.
I drank a bunch of coffee and it might have been a shot or two. And just ran my mouth. I figured out how to use iMovie for that, cut it up, send it in.
Okay.
And and all they care about is that you're entertaining on camera. Like, I played college football, or I know how to spearfish. Nobody cares. They just want you to be entertaining on camera.
Yeah. Just going back to the bartending stuff. So, and you really enjoyed that? Like, you like came out here because, I mean, you've been involved with that for a long time. You really enjoy that?
I mean, it works well. They pay you money and you get to drink as much as you want.
Yeah.
These are two of my interests.
As you said, you want to open a bar also.
Right. Well, it's like,
not a dog bar,
though. I would imagine you didn't fall like dream of being a podcast, right? But you fall into something.
Because it wasn't invented.
But you learn you love it and you're good at it, obviously.
Yes.
So you run with it. That's kind of how managing a bar like came about. Like, I'm good at like hospitality. I can do that. I've already way ahead of where I should be for my age in this like field.
Yes.
So that was like, it started off as just something to do for a year and live on the beach in LA, but it kind of became a career track, at least before Survivor started.
And so do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years, you're going to own a bar or an establishment like that?
It's kind of dreams and goals and ambitions, these are good things, but yes, they stay in the back of the brain. Mm-hmm. At some point, I would imagine that there would be, you know, once I come to power and the billions are rolling in, then like franchise bars, like something like that. But it's always kind of been the fallback. If the rest of the world falls apart, I can always like manage a bar,
yeah,
and not hate my life for it because I'm good at it, make plenty of money, and like that's always there.
But you would prefer to manage somebody else's bar, or you would prefer to have it be your bar? You want to, you want that experience of being like the guy.
Yeah, it's, I don't do well with authority, yeah, or like people telling me what to do. So having, yeah, to be in charge would be a, that would be first and foremost in my mind.
Yeah, it's a big deal because you can't walk away from it if it's your name on the door, right? You gotta you're in it for the long haul.
If it becomes an investment, like you're financially involved, then yeah, I kind of, it sounds, it's much, I'm saying, we're talking about things I haven't done in a few years. And when back when I was bartending and I was running this place before Survivor, I mean, we were up till, we'd be cleaning till 4 a.m, like be drinking and then wake up at noon and do it all again the next day. That was life, like, mm-hmm, work. And so, but all of a sudden, like, if you own the place, well, now I'm just like drinking my product.
Right.
And I'm wasting my
it's
own
less
money.
Fun.
Yeah. I haven't considered this. You started talking about it. I'm going to have to rethink my fallback plan in life.
Yeah. It's a lot to think about. All right. So I'm very happy that you're here and we got to sit down. It's the Survivor off season. We're, you know, in between season 29, season 30. We're at the start of the whole Miss Survivor, Mr. Survivor competition for 2015.
Right.
So we're in between two big, like we're right in the middle, like halfway in between the Survivor, the past Survivor season and the future Survivor season.
Right.
We're in the nexus. We're in the nexus and we're ready to go. First up, are you excited for Survivor 30?
Yes. And I would say that for a couple of reasons. One, because last season is good, but you know, lackluster, I think everybody would kind of agree on. And then what's kind of a double-edged blade is that Probst is pimping it out so much.
Yes.
He is on record again saying, like, this is great season. You better be looking forward to this. One of our best ever. The last time he said that, mm-hmm, was Caramon.
Yeah.
Which, and I was there. Like, even like we're all seeing what Probst is saying. And I was on Philippines and Caramon. I knew Philippines was cool, like when it was coming out. And then the entire time during Philippines, he's saying that get ready for next season. Even next season's gonna be better. And it kind of wasn't. And
yeah.
In the back of my mind, I can't get rid of this nagging feeling that Probst it might not be on point again.
That's interesting because, you know, from somebody, the perspective of somebody who was there and you know how it's going to go. And it's like, boy, you know, I haven't seen the footage and everything and it was good. But when he's hyping it up that much, you know, I remember talking to him. I interviewed Jeff during Survivor Philippines and it was like right during like that 3-episode bump right after the merge where it's like where RC, Jeff, Kent, Jeff, artists,
yeah,
go out, boom, boom, boom. And those are like three really great episodes in that season back to back. And Jeff's like, well, I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything yet. Next season is going to be one of the best seasons. But yeah, there is seeming to be a prevailing thought that this season is going to knock it out of the park. And I wonder if there's some sort of an overcorrection on Jeff's part where he feels like people really hated season 29. But I really feel like by the end of last season, I feel like most people were pretty okay with San Juan del Sur, if not saying that they were very satisfied with San Juan del Sur.
I think this last season ended strong. I don't want to take anything away from that. The last couple episodes were great. I honestly never fall out of Survivor, and I fell out a little bit in the middle there and had to play catch up. Never happens to me.
In some ways, I feel like last season was like Karamoan in that it was a very lackluster pre-merge,
right,
and then a lot of the fireworks happened after the merge.
Sure. I mean, who knows? I mean, I guess these people know what they're talking about. Editors, mm-hmm, and I'm not going to say props. I'm about to bash props a little bit.
Uh-oh.
But like, everyone knows what's going on. Like, they have the pulse of how people are going to react. And I think, you know, the rumors were before 29 started San Juan del Sur that it might pale a bit in comparison to 30. So this has been going on for a while, but when Jeff doesn't, I don't think always have his finger on the pulse of what at least the
How dare you, Malcolm?
I'm sorry. He's used to be bad. I make fun of him every time I see him now, but I don't think he always has his finger on the pulse of what at least the super fan community wants to see. And then, so when he says 30's the best ever, I'm like, okay, great. I'm excited, but it's always a grain of salt in my mind now after the, you know, at least pre-merge Caramonan debacle.
Yeah. Interesting. Survivor 30, they decided to go all new cast members. That Jeff did an interview with Dalton Ross talking about how Probst and Burnett were talking, and they said season 30. They made it a all new season because they felt like, well, we could do an all-star season, but it's Survivor 30, but it's just our 30th season. Yeah. But I do feel like out of the people that they would go to for an all-star season, I feel like you would be very high up on that list. Was it a disappointment for you for Survivor 30 to not be all-stars?
No, not disappointment. Okay, from a past contestant who potentially would be invited back.
Yes.
No. Because, I, again, in my head, I'm only 50-50 on, like, if there was ever the question of going back again.
Oh, you are on the fence.
Very much on the fence. Well, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to come out of it quite well.
Right.
Like, I mean, as much as I didn't win, and I'm hyper-competitive, I came out of it quite well. I'm very 50-50 on ever going back.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't, that feeling wasn't there. Now, as a fan, 30 is a nice round number.
It is.
And that, I was, I'd say I was expecting it. And a little bit taken aback that they didn't do it. Now, I understand why, and they gave the right answer to Dalton. I saw that interview, like, that, oh, it's just another season. Why blow it up? But I think that people were looking forward to it, and that they did it because they've had luck with new people seasons recently.
Yeah.
The Blood vs. Water last season, Sir Cagayan 2 seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've had luck now with these all new people seasons. And that's why they're going to continue that streak back in the early stretch of the early 20 seasons. It was all stars every time because they saw that they were having luck with that. Then the new people started working. So now they're going to keep going with that for a bit.
Yeah.
Would be my read on it.
Well, I think that within the Survivor community also, there was an expectation that 30 was going to be an all stars. And I think they really started exploring it, that they started, reaching out and send us in your information and stuff like that. And so a lot of people started going, cuckoo, I think, especially within the Survivors. Does that happen a lot to you where you have a lot of the Survivor alumni contacting you saying like, hey, let's, you and I, let's talk. Does that happen more than you're comfortable with?
I think I'm a bit in the, I would definitely say I'm in the minority in that I don't talk to the vast majority of the Survivor community.
Yeah.
I don't.
Now, is that, that's intentional that you say that you sort of want to be much like, the guy who won't join the motorcycle club. You're sort of out there on your own.
It's a lone wolf. It's not intentional. It's not like I'm like, I don't want to talk to these people or anything like that. It's just, I've never really embedded myself into like that. I mean, the people who, I do know, I have friends who talk to everyone like on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It is one, it's one big social group.
Yes.
And it's just something that I've never been super involved in. So like when you talk about like, okay, if there's this big hullabaloo, I got to say hullabaloo.
Yeah, there you go.
Whenever I get the SAT words in there.
There's no bell today.
When all this hullabaloo is going on, I don't get a lot of it. Now there are people I still talk to, and I might hear like whispers of, oh, I got a phone call. Or, oh my God, did you get like things like that? But when the entire world goes nuts, as I know happens every time they're casting a potential all-star season, I don't hear that much about it.
Do you feel like that maybe the reason why you feel that way is maybe coming out of your first season that you had a unique experience than a lot of other Survivors had, where you played your one season and then you were already back onto a second season and didn't go through the process or, born into the Survivor post-show world like most other people are, where they do their show and then it's over and then they're sort of like, they don't know what's going on with Survivor. And then potentially they come back or they don't know if they're going to come back or not. But you had a very different experience.
I've never thought about it that way, Rob. I would agree that probably influences exactly what I just said. I'd never thought about that before. But it's probably true that so many people, you go out there once and, some 99% of people end up with some level of disappointment because they didn't come up with $1 million check. And so they're kind of, they stay in the group and they keep wanting to go back. Whereas I had, for a year, I was on the show.
Yeah.
Basically. And it was a year and a half. We go back to casting 2.5 year stretch. So there's an element of exhaustion almost from it all that I've just not dove back into the community ever since.
Yeah. And it's probably, overwhelming also when you do the two shows back to back. I mean, the people that have done it, like for the most part, who is it? Yourself, Rupert, Russell Hance, Bobby John and Stephanie. And I think that's it.
Amanda
and James, yeah. too. But it must be a lot to take in. And so there's probably like a lot of people who are one, either trying to, you know, make alliances because they want to talk about going back. Or then there's probably also a lot of people that are jealous that, hell, why'd he get to go back twice? I was good.
Yeah. It's almost like I abstained. Really. Yeah. Like and maybe I don't get the calls about like when we're all excited about there might be an all-star season. No one like reaches out to me. I don't think that's because like jealousy. I certainly don't think that's it or any degree of antisocial. It's just that I don't have the contact information of a lot of people.
But you're not seeking it out though either.
But I'm not seeking it out either. Right. Like it was this awesome thing. And I love talking about it. I wear my belt around like after the shower sometimes, but
whoa.
Like, but I still like love talking to, you know, fans and all that stuff. But as far as like this 450 person oddball community that we belong to,
yeah.
I engage below average.
How intimidating is it as a person who comes into the show, you know, later on? Your first season is 25, you go and play again in 26. But as somebody who, you know, there's 24 seasons before, and of course you're a fan coming into it and you know who most of these people are. Is it intimidating to have like, boy, now all these people are gonna be reaching out to me, where like for me as somebody who came in early and then sort of like, you know, you get to meet people as they come in. Now it's like all of a sudden you're like almost like marrying into this big family. And everybody's like, oh, I want to see Malcolm. I want to talk to Malcolm. Like, is that also intimidating?
Intimidating might not be the right word. Well, in one sense it is the way, and I've described it to somebody else like this is, and I played, I played college football, right? So when you're a freshman, there's 3 years of people who are older than you have been doing this for forever.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, you look up to them. So like, oh my God, Sister Nina wants me to be on his pod. Like, that's like really cool. Now I'm over you.
Yeah,
but
take it easy.
But all the people who are there before you, like, are your seniors. And so like, you kind of like, oh, that's so cool. Like, you look up to these people. And I will say that now that like, you're kind of the senior person, there's new people involved. And I've met, you know, a few of them. It's to note the shoes on the other foot and that they're having that reaction to you. And it's still only been a few seasons since I was off.
Yeah.
That reaction is still it's novel. It's not intimidating. It'd be intimidating to meet like some people from way, way back. I haven't met a particularly large amount, but that's always intimidating. But the younger people, it's just like, yeah, it's kind of cool.
So you say it's 50-50 for you to want to go back. What is the 50 that is making you not want to do it?
Because how many people get to escape? I mean, I certainly don't want to be braggadocious, like with the reputation that I got out of it.
Yeah.
Like I was extremely, extremely fortunate, not just because of like thinking I'm awesome or whatever, like with editing and with the way the show went, the plot lines that they gave me. Like, nobody escapes as, you know, shiny and, you know, however I did.
Yeah.
So I already have that. Like, what, there's the only thing, because the next question is the 50% that would make me go back.
Yeah. I think the 50% that would make you go back, and I'm in the, you know, definitely I don't want to say I'm in the same boat, because I feel like that you would be at the top of a very short list. And I feel like I would be at the bottom of a long list of people that they would want to go back.
That's not true.
But the appeal is obviously that you go back and you look great and you win. Or if you don't win, you come off like a, you know, like, oh, you should have won and you're on there for the whole time. The 50% for me is that you go back and then you lose right away. And everybody's like, oh, man, you really are an idiot. and, you know, and you come off looking bad and you wasted your time for so long.
Yeah, well, I guess every, let's call it player, who goes out there, you know, you strengths and weaknesses, right? I hate saying things like this because I don't want to sound arrogant, but I'm not usually going to get kicked off quickly in most situations, unless I, you know, somebody sticks me on a tribe with Philip and then I end up like Francesca, like that could happen.
Right.
But that wouldn't happen. Like I would feel comfortable that I'd make it like a little bit,
yeah,
like just because I can help out in challenges early on and I can keep my head down. So that fear is not there.
Yeah.
But it's almost like no matter what, unless I won, like it just wouldn't. And it's not like I'm overly concerned about maintaining reputation, but
right.
Like there's the only thing left is winning.
I think the question, yeah, for you, if you went back, I think you're right. I think that you would probably be okay early on because they say, okay, well, Malcolm's going to help in the challenges. And also you don't have the reputation that you're, you know, a bad guy, you're underhanded or anything like that. And you could take your word at face value. But the question is probably going to be, you know, that sort of Karamoan glass ceiling of, you know, how does Malcolm get past where you get to the merge and people are like, well, we got to vote out Malcolm now because he's going to find an idol or he's going to win the challenges. And yeah. I think that's really the part where it's like, you know, how do you get around that?
Right. I'd never have cared for results. Like if there's 18 people a season, first boot to 17, or I guess it would be 17th boot, 15th boot, doesn't matter to me. It's you either win or you don't. And the only thing I feel like that would be left would be winning.
Yes.
So it's like there's not fear for getting kicked off early. I guess there would be an element of embarrassment. I haven't experienced that before. But like that, the only thing left would be winning. And then when you take a realistic look at your odds, because we're not new people out there anymore, and like this glass ceiling, as you so aptly put it, like it's not that I don't think I couldn't win.
Yeah.
It's that I'm just torn on the subject. Like I've got everything out of it except winning.
Mm-hmm.
And every competitive nerve ending in this area of my brain is,
yeah,
would want
to
go.
And I don't mean to imply that you couldn't get a pass. Obviously you did that in Survivor Philippines.
Right.
But the question, you know, that would be, if I was one of the very few things I would worry about in a situation like that, I'd say, boy, like, I feel like people are going to try, you know, say that I'm going to win the challenges.
Yeah. I'm not good at challenges. If you go back and look at stuff.
Yeah.
Give me puzzles. That's I can do puzzles. That's about it.
Do you feel like you played a better game in Karamoan or the Philippines?
I played a better game Philippines, frankly. But people always ask me, do you regret how you played post-merge in Karamoan? Or when people, like, you meet somebody at a bar, like, do you regret, like, the, like, throwing out idols and all this crap?
Yeah.
Like you did. And my only point on this, I don't. I mean, I didn't do it perfectly. I should have handled it better. I've said that every time. But it had to be aggressive at that point for me to have a chance to win the game. And I still believe that. So I played better in Philippines. I was able to. But again, it's all situational. Because I think you've called me out for Angie going home early in the Philippines, like, probably helping me out. It's true.
Yeah, well, that was good. That was a lucky break.
But like us going, like, if there's any threat to be had from like just being a physical young guy post merge, right? It's gone in the Philippines because you have no allies that anybody knows about. So like there was all these elements at play. Whereas in Karamoan, I was like the big guy in the majority and like all these things, but I played better in the Philippines thing. Obviously I don't like to go by results based.
Yeah.
Like, but I think that would be, because if I were to go back, that would be the game play I would emulate. It was more a little bit, sitting back a bit more.
This past season in Survivor San Juan del Sur, I thought Natalie was going to get the Malcolm Philippines story. That I thought when she got to the final four and she didn't win that immunity, mm-hmm. and that they had to decide, it was Jacqueline who had the immunity and she had to decide like who are we going to get rid of. They vote out Keith there instead of Natalie, who obviously then is the person who has the best chance to win, who goes on to win the game.
Sure.
And so when you see that, does that annoy you that like, why couldn't I be with people that were stupid enough to take me to the end?
You know, it doesn't annoy me now. And I whenever people ask me, like usually it's Spencer who gets the comparison for the storyline.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it about Natalie before. And so now I'm trying to wrap my head around it, but I know what you're saying. And I don't think I was annoyed at Natalie. I was annoyed at the people she was with for not being smart enough to see what was in their best interest. Now I think Keith would have won mm-hmm. if it had been otherwise. But when people don't act in their self-interest is when like I go berserk, or like they don't see like, and it's always hard because we're Monday morning quarterbacking, aren't we? And
that's what we do.
Perfect. We get the perfect information that they don't have.
Yes.
So I get annoyed with the people who are out there with Natalie. So I think it was Missy and Jacqueline
and Keith. Yeah.
No, Keith. Well, Keith. Love Keith, but.
that's Keith.
Yeah. So I get more annoyed with the people who keep them around for not acting in their own self-interest more so than Natalie.
Okay. As far as Natalie goes as a winner, where do you rate Natalie as a winner?
So I was at the end of it. She was the right person to win. I'm glad she won. I could never root for her because so early on. Because
you hate The Amazing Race.
I've never watched The Amazing Race. I didn't know what to make of it. But like, she was so caustic towards Rocker at the beginning.
Yes.
And I got to interview Rocker for Survivor Live on CBS. And he's telling stories about her, like that she's just like flipping the birds. Like they only showed apparently like a tiny, tiny amount of the like crap she was stirring up. So I could never find myself rooting for her over the course of the season. I think she's the right person to win. I think that, I mean, she has to get bonus points for, you know, the storyline's nice that her sister's the first one out. I think she played very well at the very end of the game, like those last few votes. And I was screaming at the TV when she gave the idol.
Yes.
I was like, holy
smokes. You liked it.
I didn't know. I was confused. I didn't know if I liked it or not.
Yeah, it was fun.
So I mean, I don't have a strong opinion on where she ranks. She's definitely not a bad winner. I don't think she's one of like the top tier winners though.
Who's better, Natalie or Janice?
I'm going to say Denise. I have to. Okay. We were just talking about like Survivor social circles.
Yes.
Denise is the person I talk to more than that's every other day.
Just not about. Russell Swan?
Me and goodness gracious. Not Russell Swan. Next question.
Not Penner?
I like Penner. I really like Penner. I've just kind of fallen out of touch. We stayed in contact a little bit after the seasons were over. But
Malcolm, how come you never call anymore? I never hear from you.
It was the creepiest Penner. It was good, but it was like that would cause me not to call him.
Okay. You don't call anymore. That's bollocks. You know it. So I'm glad you brought up about how you got to interview John Rocker on the Survivor Live, because personally, I was confused, especially when you showed up on the Survivor Live, because whether they moved on from Parvati or whether Parvati didn't want to do it anymore, and they bring in Big Jeff to go, and Big Jeff is going to interview the Survivor contestants, and then I see you on there, and I'm saying to myself, well, how come this wasn't Malcolm's gig in the first place?
Yeah,
because that seems like that would be a good spot for you.
I basically got the two spots because Schroeder, Big Jeff, had to step away, and I'd inquired before, like, you know, would you? I could do this job. Like,
yes,
let me do this.
Yes.
So I'd already like put the feeler out there, and they reached out when they knew Jeff had to be gone. I think that Jeff is, you know, he's done all this sorts of things for Big Brother for forever.
Right.
It's very natural as opposed to me who I did the show this summer, but that's about it for hosting experience. So they went with, I love Jeff. I met him on several occasions. Nicest guy.
Nicest guy.
Yeah. But
Malcolm, are you ready to be single and ready to mingle? And not, are you trying to take my job from CBS? Because that is not a bro thing to do. GTFO, Malcolm.
He would say it's not a bro thing to do.
But it's super, super nice guy. But it just that seems to me like that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I got to do the two things and super grateful. It was a cool
if you were offered that job, would you take that job?
Yeah, it'd be pretty hard to say no to. I mean, it's easy. When you're so, you know, you love something, it's not hard to talk about it. And, knowledgeable. Yeah.
And it's a good gig, right? There's a lot of people you're not like me, like schlepping the the equipment around and trying to hook up the wires myself. There's a lot of people that help out with that.
Yeah.
Have to show up.
I think I was impressed, like the amount of work that goes in. I thought I was going to show up and like talk, but then we plan everything out.
Yeah,
like, rehearse
they plan
it multiple
stuff.
Times.
Yeah.
Studio, like big old team. Like a lot of work goes into putting that thing together.
Right. And they have the people there in person.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that it always has bugged me about that show.
Yeah.
Is that whoever's booted off the next day does 18 and a half billion interviews. Why? It's the only one where you have them there in person. Like, there has to be a way to take advantage of like having the visual where no one else has that. So I don't know. It always bugged me about that show. And I was only there for two episodes, so I didn't get to like do sweeping changes, but like, it feels like if you're
going to. Why? What would you do?
I don't know. But I don't have any. I just
what do you want to do?
Big picture.
You want to like have like them do like stunts and stuff?
Something,
like
yeah, like something. Like you have them on video the next day, like but we're just doing the same thing that's
right.
Like everyone else is doing it, gets to an interview. Like why not take advantage of this fact?
Like what would you have them do? Like a challenge?
I don't have
like
any
all right,
ideas,
we're here. It's a Survivor Live with Malcolm. We're here with Wes. Wes, we have 57 chicken McNuggets ready to go. Are you like you want to do stuff like that?
Like what? Like I have no idea. But like, all right, you blew the puzzle. Because it's CBS. They probably have like
they have the prop puzzle.
You have the here's the puzzle.
Yes.
Have you been having nightmares about this? We're gonna time you. Go like I don't know something.
And you want to heckle people while they're trying to do a puzzle?
What, That was the other thing. Like, everyone's like too nice and journalistic. No, love Parvati to death. And yeah, but yes. It's like, that's a question. I'm like, I'm going to tell you you're an idiot. Like, I'm going to give you my opinion on the matter. I couldn't help but make fun of Drew when I did it.
Right. Like, well, you had a good 2 weeks back to back with Rocker and Drew, who
I was fortunate.
Of course, we all remember Drew because he's a badass.
So basically, I'm a badass.
What was that like getting to talk to Drew Christie in person?
It's hard because I get to watch the episode the day before, and then I know he's going to show up. And the entire time, I'm just like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to tell you a story. Drew's going to kill me. I haven't spoken to Drew since then, so, and I don't know that he's a regular RHAP listener, but I'm going to tell you a story. I hear
he's a big listener, big podcast
big
guy.
Big podcast guy.
I hear Rob is a podcast, a lot of the NPR stuff also. I think he's big.
Big Ira Glass fan.
Yes, loves Ira Glass.
What happens is when we're in this, it's a very small studio where we shoot this thing, but on there's the two-sided glass, right, with the mirror, so you can't actually see into the production room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back there, and he's sitting in his chair about 5 minutes before we're going to go off, and I say, I'll be back in a minute. I run in there, I'm just getting a note or two from somebody. And we're looking through the one-way, it's one-way glass, that's what I'm trying to say. We're looking through the one-way glass, so he can't see us. And he's got his phone up, and he's just snapping selfies. Like, he's teasing his hair ever
like
so gently behind his ears, and he's got his phone up, and he's just snapping selfie after selfie after selfie. The entire room was dying laughing, and I'm just saying, I have to go interview this guy with a straight face right now, and we're mocking him ruthlessly for teasing his hair before I go do it.
And he was bummed out about his edit, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think everyone is when it comes off negative, and there's always elements of truth in it. I'm kind of changing the subject a little, but when people ask you about, like, how did you think you appeared on TV, it's like, on a scale of, like, 1 to 10, 1 being evil and 10 being, like, you know, Jesus, you fall lifestyle somewhere in that range already. And then, so you're already going to be somewhere in there, and editing can only move you in one direction or the other, and that's going to be based on the story.
Yeah.
So, and I do think in Drew's case, he probably got a little bit of a rough deal, but I mean, when you call yourself, he called himself the kingpin.
Yeah.
Just basically,
he's
I'm running a badass. The game. Yeah. When you say things like that, you got to expect it.
Yeah. All right, so we are at the start of the new season of Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor. We're recording this interview on Tuesday. I'm going to get ready. We're going to reveal our finalists for Mr. Survivor tonight. Then Wednesday night, we'll have our Miss Survivor finalists, and I'm going to have this up at the end of post this interview on Friday. From the outside looking in, do you have any, you want to handicap this race for 2015?
Much more invested in the men's race, obviously.
Yes.
I did put some thought into this. Nobody in their life watching Survivor, I think has ever rooted against Spencer. But I feel like we might have to on this.
Okay, you say, okay.
Because he's going to, and I certainly benefited from the young girl vote.
I think
that's certainly, no bones about that. It paid off. But I think Spencer is the recipient of that this time around.
Well, you know, I actually heard from Jeff that he doesn't think that Spencer will do well.
Spencer has zero chance of winning this game.
So we'll see.
This is just more quotes that bring Jeff's judgment into question. No, I think that Spencer's going to, if you're handicapping, he's the short odds, right? Outside picks, I think that you could see, because now once you get past like all the little girls who are just going to jump on and vote, you get the people who like really want to see certain people do interviews. Now that brings two people into my mind that I'm rooting for is Tony.
Tony.
Can you imagine like some people are going to vote for Tony to be on this?
Yeah.
If he does that enough. And then Keith, recency bias.
Oh.
But imagine people voting for Tony.
You're
or
okay.
Yeah.
So like these aren't your prototypicals, but I think the young girl alliance of internet tweens are going to be so heavily favoring. So I can't remember who's, I can't imagine it's not going to be Drew or Alec competing with Spencer for this vote, like the young girls. But Spencer's going to run away with so much that your other two finalists will be older men who will just be good in interviews because that's who the community wants to see.
Well, I'm dying to find out because by the time you guys are listening to this, you'll already know the top three. But I don't know yet. I don't know until we do the actual results. So it's going to be very exciting. So you are rooting against Spencer.
Oh.
I want to have that
on for the record. I am rooting for underdogs. I'm not rooting against Spencer, but I'm rooting for underdogs.
Yes.
I want to see an upset.
You want to see an upset? Okay.
Yes.
And you want to push your chips to who? To Tony?
I would throw, I mean, the rational part of my brain, which admittedly is quite small, would vote for Spencer. But yeah. I would throw some money at seeing Tony just because he's going to make that. What's that noise? I can't remember that you make some, that people want to hear that.
Yeah. So you're telling the voter at home who voted for you last year to not cast their vote for Spencer for this year?
You're just trying to pin me in this anti-Spencer.
I'm asking the questions.
I'm saying that America loves an underdog story.
Yes.
We're a nation of underdogs. That's why we came here, our ancestors upon ancestors.
Yes.
A vote for Spencer is just for the normal, everyday routine.
It's a vote for the establishment.
It's a vote for the establishment.
Yes.
If you want to fight the man,
stick it to the man.
You vote for Tony.
Vote for Tony. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Because people would say that Tony is the man. He's a police officer.
I'm just telling you how.
It's a role reversal.
I'm calling him like I see it. Okay. And I have some experience with the tween vote.
You're not just fueling the fire for a potential Spencer versus Malcolm Survivor season?
Oh, gosh. You know, I met Spencer once. He's a nice kid. But the thing you notice with Spencer, and I do, he was absolutely awesome. He is very young.
Yes.
I don't really remember.
He does seem older on the show. Maybe it's because he is, you know, then he's shaved when you see him in person, but he does seem younger in person.
In person,
than
he comes very young. Like Spencer, love Spencer. I'm not trying to fuel nothing. I don't need any more enemies than I already have from Stealth R Us.
Well, Spencer's not in Stealth R Us.
I know that, but I don't need to alienate more people.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is a very, very interesting insight into the Mr. Survivor. Now, are you concerned that you are providing fuel for a fire for people to come out attacking you in their Mr. Survivor interviews and debates this year?
You know, I can always take solace in that I'm not as bad as RC. These are the things that get me to sleep at night. I have that. No matter what, I'm not as bad as RC.
Yes. I'll tell you that the thing that seemed to annoy people was that the pictures with the belt.
Yes.
This is your third appearance on the podcast since being Mr. Survivor.
It's
and
true.
I think that probably has gotten forgotten by some people. But the thing about that you said you were going to take a lot of pictures with the belt. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people felt like that was a promise that was not fulfilled.
All right. We're going to have to talk about this because two things significant have happened and I should edify you. Now,
don't tell me you lost the belt.
That's number two. Let me get to it. Number one, did a road trip travel show. Something,
yes.
The wayfaring thing. Took the belt with us.
Yes.
It was there. The very first day it was on the checklist. We have to take a picture with the belt everywhere we go.
And yes.
We go to this. It was some ghost town. Literally, we were the biggest mess of production for that first week. But like we tried to, and then one of the cowboys at this ghost town came up to us and like tried to take it away from me.
Somebody tried to steal the belt.
And I got so nerved up and everything else was going to hell those first couple of days on the show that like we're just like, put it away. It never happened. I do feel bad about that. Now for the second and more dramatic story.
That wasn't the most dramatic story?
Oh, no.
It didn't.
Tell
me before you start the story, did you lose the Mr. Survivor belt?
Listen to the story.
Okay. you could go below RC if the belt is lost.
I exaggerate the stories I tell about the belt quite often. This is not an exaggeration.
Not a tall tale.
This part's not an exaggeration.
Okay.
In my past apartment, it was in a place very prominent.
Prominent display.
High on a shelf.
Yes.
Facing the room.
Yes.
Anybody who walked in that room knew whose room they were in because this shiny WWE style Mr. Survivor belt was gleaming down upon them. That being said, I didn't always like every morning check that it was in that same spot.
Yes.
I moved in between on December 1st. Had a few friends over to help me pack. I start undoing these. It was in this whole mess of stuff. And I start packing up everything. And about halfway through my room, I realize the Mr. Survivor belt's not there.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I've lost like a PlayStation controller and a few other things. And my two friends will attest to this. They've never seen me panic. Like, I panicked when I realized the belt was missing.
Okay.
It's not where I left it at all. Tearing apart my room, unpacking boxes I'd already packed. I found that you gave it to me in a carry bag,
yes,
a little blue bag.
A sheath.
A sheath. Nice word, yes. I find the sheath.
Okay.
But it's not there, and I never had them separated.
Right.
I can't understand what happened to this thing. Literally sweating. Well, because I know, Mr. I don't have like a lot of time to find this thing. The notes, I'm going to have to hand this down.
Yes.
I have to find it soon. I move and unpack everything. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll find it when I unpack.
Right.
I don't find it. It gets to be about December 7th, so I've been moved for a week. And I sit down at my computer and I start typing rob.sisternewknow@gmail.
Yeah.
I got to send him an email. I have to tell him I lost this thing. And I'm literally, I've never
right.
felt worse about anything in my life. I lost this belt. And I'm the true story, I'm halfway through this email and I get another email from one of our interns on the show this summer.
Yes.
Who stayed with me after the fact and said that, hey, can you send me a picture of that belt? My friend's a Survivor fan or like something, da 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 da. And so I like immediately call him, like, I don't know where it is. And he goes, dude, we put it under the camera equipment in this like random box that's in
yes.
storage somewhere. I have to go to a storage unit.
Okay.
They had moved it after the fact. The belt
wow.
is safe, but it was lost.
Oh my god.
And I've never been more terrified of having to admit something in my life.
Oh my god.
For a few weeks there, it was gone.
Oh my god. All right. Well, good. Happy. I'm very happy to boy that, you know, let me check what my heart rate is on the Fitbit here.
Okay. You should
elevate it.
I've never panicked as much as I did when I realized that it wasn't where I thought it was.
Not as much as when you couldn't find the hidden immunity idol when you bought the clue at the auction.
Immunity idols are peanuts to my Mr. Survivor belt.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, all right. So you have it back in your possession. How
yes.
we've never done this before. Now with Miss Survivor, the Miss Survivor sash, we create a new one every year. But the Mr. Survivor belt, I thought should be like the Heisman Trophy and should be passed down from Mr. Survivor to Mr. Survivor. How should we do the handoff as the inaugural Mr. Survivor?
Oh man. I mean, if you're going to ask me this question, seriously, I want to come in riding on like a velociraptor with a flaming crossbow with like heralded in by a marching band playing
yes.
like Bohemian Rhapsody or something.
Yeah. But what if you come in on a motorcycle with Rosie O'Donnell?
The motorcycle break.
Oh, yeah. It's already broken.
It should be handed down. I agree. This isn't something. This is to be passed on. It should be a hallowed event. There should be, you know. There should be pomp and circumstance.
Yes.
I don't have any details in mind, but it needs to be a somber occasion. One of great sadness for me, but the torch is being passed.
The torch is being passed. So how do we do this?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm thinking it through. I'm trying to think of music. I'm hung up on the background music for this.
Yes.
Now.
Okay. Like, well, how about this? Feels like I stepped.
Like Meredith Brooks' bitch or like Vanessa Carlton or just something.
Okay, no sticky situation?
It could work. Something, okay. You're on the right track. Something along those lines. And then what I'll do.
Well, how about something like this?
Rob's the best. Know it all. Steven should have never made that call. So
not that.
Okay.
No, not that.
All right.
But something, and I'll walk in doing that silly wedding walk or whatever they do with it, one foot to the next, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
I'll come in like that, and I'll just slowly fade in the distance as a new Mr. Survivor comes to be.
I mean, this seems like a very elaborate handoff procedure how are we going to do this on a podcast?
We videotaped it when you gave it to me.
Yes. All right. All right. Well,
your baby was crying behind us.
We'll figure this out. Before I forget, what I want to do is here. I have a marker. I want you to at least sign the inside of the Mr. Survivor belt as the inaugural Mr. Survivor. We'll have this as a Mr. Survivor tradition going forward. Okay.
Yes.
So let's do that. If worse comes to worse and you have to put it in the mail or however we're going to do this, we'll figure it out. So, Miss Survivor, do you have any thoughts on the Miss Survivor competition?
Okay, Natalie will be a finalist because everyone, again, this is kind of the Tony Keith vote. People are going to want to hear her talk, and she was good, so that'll work out. I'm trying to think. Now I'm blanking on who are some of the merge girls from Cagayan?
Well,
not Cass.
Yeah, really, of Cass.
I don't think there's any danger of Cass making.
You have Sarah who made the merge. You have Jeffra. You have Morgan.
I got
Trish.
It. Morgan will show
Morgan.
Up. Morgan will show up because the internet has hormones. Yeah, Morgan will be there.
Yeah,
Morgan, Natalie, and then you know who? And I don't follow this stuff very thick, but you know who always seems to get sleeper mentions?
Who's that?
Kelly Wentworth. Out of nowhere, I could see it happening.
She could be in the mix.
I would not be surprised. But yeah, Natalie, Morgan,
yes,
and Kelly would be my three finalist picks.
All right, let me give you some questions from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Lots of questions for Mr. Survivor. Let's start with Humberto. Humberto wants to know, hey Malcolm, have you had an RHAP cocktail already, or are you saving it for a special occasion?
Oh, I've not actually done it. I remember we talked about this and we created some. It actually sounded not terrible.
Yes. Remind people what's in the RHAP cocktail.
It was rum, Hennessy, Aperol, and what was L? Oh, no, wait. R hat is a P.
Yes. Yes.
Pineapple juice.
Pineapple.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Not RHAL.
No.
I've not done it yet. You know, next time, if we ever do like a video thing, it'll be in the bestowing of the belt ceremony.
Oh, wow.
I will come in with the RHAP cocktail.
Yeah. Is it like when you get iced? Is that that somebody hands you an RHAP cocktail and then you have to like get down on one knee and drink it?
Let's be better than icing, but I will bestow a cocktail, like champagne glasses. It'll be a very classy affair.
Okay, well, that would be very classy. I know this was a question from a couple people. They wanted to know, is Malcolm blue collar, white collar, or no collar?
Imagine it'd be no collar. Poor old white collar. I feel bad for him. I think no collar because I am like an educated person. Then I ended up working at a bar for a long time. And like I've been a teacher. I've had, you know, half a dozen jobs. So I'd be one of the no collar guys. Plus, they apparently put all the long haired dudes on that tribe.
Yeah, I think your hair.
I think hair alone.
Automatically. Now, you said poor white collar people. Why do you say that?
Well, I said because it's like the beauty tribe. They're set up to be hated. We're in the post-Occupy world.
Yeah.
What designation is most likely to like?
So you feel
turn
like
people against
blue collar and no collar could team up against the white collar.
Blue collar is going to be the champions. Everyone's cheering for yes. blue collar right off the get. No collar, they're like the bohemian hippies, you know, whatever. Yeah. But we'll still like white collar is the man, and we've already talked about.
See,
fighting
but
the man
I feel like
this.
They're more like the brains tribe of that. You know, people will want to hate them because they're the brains, and they're the no disrespect to myself intended, but the know-it-alls, the people that are like the sort of the masterminds, sort of like mustache twirly type
right.
white collar people.
It's a subset, I think, of like the political landscape. And all we ever talk about on the
yes.
news these days is that like the 1% are getting richer and the 99%. And that's, I'm sure that's not true of the six people, that they're not 1% of Americans,
mm-hmm.
but that's how they've been designated. Prop said on the cast introduction video, I don't think labeling people by collars affects anything at all. I've never wanted to call, again, this is another thing at Prop's. No, you label people as white collar. Survivor's loved by middle America. They are not going to be cheering for the white collar people because
mm-hmm.
they're going to want their the people they relate to rise up and beat the man.
You know, I was thinking about this morning. So Survivor Philippines, your first season was a three tribe season. This, of course, is a three tribe season. Could you put Matt Singh, Tan Dang, and what was the other one?
Calabar. Right.
Could you put them into the white collar, blue collar? Like, could you just drop them as a tribe into one of those three buckets?
So you have... Matt Singh was miserable. Tan Dang, everyone knew, was going to run over everybody.
Yes.
And then Calabar was there.
So who is the white collar tribe?
I'm trying to think. I could see white collar being Calabar, just kind of floating in the middle.
Okay.
And I could see blue collar being Tan Dang, and then no collar being Matt Singh.
Okay.
It's kind of a gut reaction. But I could see blue collar running away with it, honestly. I think they had both Mike and Will, big guys. The girls seem...
Mike Scoopin is blue collar?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mike is one of the guys on the season.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, the, what's he do? Oil drilling or something like that.
Yeah.
I could see blue collar running away with it a bit.
Because I hear the words white collar often associated with Mike Scoopin.
The ripping off white collar is what you're looking for.
Takes off. By the way, the White Collar Tribe, a lot has been made about Max Dawson on the White Collar Tribe.
Oh, yeah.
Have you met Max Dawson?
I have before he was got cast. I met him a couple times, and if anyone who interacts with Survivor hashtags on the internet knows, like a big commentator. And I find myself very torn on this because no one in the history of pre-show photographs has posed more hard or been like, trying to be like a Nordic warrior, like this like Viking conquistador or something.
Yes.
So these pictures he's taking.
You're saying he's a poser.
What I'm saying is that you want to root for somebody like this because he's the academic who we all like the super fans want to cheer for. But I found myself turned off by his pregame stuff.
Yes.
Because it seemed very calculated.
Interesting.
As somebody, because you know he's thinking about these things and he's been in the conversation. Like, I've sent him tweets before he was on the show. He's been in the conversation for so long that you have to imagine that everything is going to be very calculated with him instead of organic. And I feel that most people cheer for people who are themselves and organic, whereas people who are trying to be calculated with how they approach everything can end up a bit like Mr. Pink Underwear Philip Shepherd.
Okay.
So I won't go that far with Max, but I worry that, especially just looking at the pregame stuff, it's so calculated.
Yeah. Now, you played, obviously, with Philip. Is that something that annoys you when people are on Survivor doing sort of shtick, sort of like the, you know, material that they have thought of, you know, playing a character rather than being authentic?
Yeah, and I think it annoys me greatly. I think that might have been something Philip said in like the title of the first episode of Karma. She annoys me greatly about Francesca. That might be a thing. Anyways, I think because I was on it with Philip, I'm more sensitive to it, and it annoys me more when I can tell people are doing. I don't want to name names in the past couple seasons, but there's been people you can kind of tell like they've thought this through and it's not coming across naturally. And I think that even if the casual viewer, I mean, okay, when they're big enough with Brandon, Philip, things like that, okay, fine, like they have a reaction to it. But I think people relate the most to people who are just being themselves out there, and I would count Spencer or Tony in that group.
And I do think, you know, and Spencer is somebody who said that, you know, he was sort of like trying to put this image of himself, you know, out there in the pregame stuff. And then once the game started, he really wasn't able to do that anymore. I think it's hard to keep that up during the game. And you know, God bless Philip, who was able to do it. But I think it's something that you could have a lot of bravado and talk a certain way about how your game is going to be.
Yeah.
But then once the game starts and the elements start and, you know, the suffering starts, it's hard to keep up a facade if that's not truly who you are.
And I totally agree with that. And to Max's credit, he said that exact thing.
Yes.
And I think his pregame interview with CBS.
So he's not a poser like John Fincher.
John Fincher is a poser.
So
I think it's awesome that you have all this stuff just ready at a moment's notice. It's going to be interesting because he's clearly calculated about it, but he knows he shouldn't be. I could see Max overanalyzing.
Okay. It'll be interesting. It's going to be fascinating.
You want to root for him. As a super fan of the show, you want to root for him.
It's going to be very, very fun. Jessica Frey wants to know, what do you think about Carolyn's shout out to you in her bio?
Oh, I didn't see it. Do we know what she said?
Okay. Survivor contestant you're the most like. This is, of course, Carolyn Rivera. Carolyn, she's on the White Collar Tribe.
Okay.
Survivor contestant you're most like. She said, I want to play like Sandra because she's 2 for 2. I also love Denise because she was smart, is in good shape, and used her psychology background to help her. She was also able to hang with Malcolm and the older crowd, and I'm going to play like that.
So Carolyn thinks she could hang out with me.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
She's ready to go.
Carolyn's the
52 looks good for 52.
Carolyn's that loud. She's white collar. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I actually liked her video. She's gonna talk crap. That's my read. Carolyn's gonna talk crap.
Hang out with you.
Well, no. She's gonna compare herself to Denise. Denise never said a bad word about anybody except Abby at one point in an unforgivable. I mean, nobody can say anything bad about Abby. But if Carolyn's gonna talk, you know, trash nonstop, she's not gonna be Denise.
This is a question that we got from somebody. You know, a lot of the listeners of Rob as a Podcast are on the social media or on the Facebook, and some people have run into across an ad showing up in their news feed on Facebook.
Yeah.
So there's an ad that's for Airbnb, and some people are wondering if this is you. Is this Is this you in this picture?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. So can I describe what's going on here? So the ad says, well, let me paint the word picture.
Let's hear what
Malcolm explains this. So it's an ad for Airbnb. For the uninitiated, Airbnb is sort of like a hotel that you could sort of like have out of your house, or like you can rent a room and people could say, I'm going to be in town. Let me stay at your place, or you have a guest house, or take over my whole house that I'm not using it right now. So Airbnb, they have an ad on Facebook that says, together, we can create a world with hashtag one less stranger, a world where we can belong anywhere. And then there's a picture, and it appears to be Malcolm sitting on a older woman's lap.
What? Hold on.
Is that right?
I'm not sitting on her lap.
It appears to be a woman who she seems to be enjoying it. The woman is sort of, just to paint the picture of what she looks like, is sort of like, looks like an older Maryland Mad Dog Hershey, without the hat, and with the teeth. Also the caption says, meet a stranger, say hello. So Malcolm, what is going on here?
Sometimes I pick up older women. I mean, that's Bonnie. And what happened was I get occasionally reached out to do social media ad campaigns. I do something and I just attach a hashtag to it. And like companies, I've done something for Holiday Inn before.
Yes.
But Airbnb wanted to do this campaign called hashtag one less stranger. It's supposed to make the world a better, like a smaller place by like going out of your way to meet people instead of being on your phone or like disengaging with humanity as everyone does. So, that's kind of cool. I'll go do that. And they gave me a bunch of ideas of things you could do, like you write your name, like, or put money in a balloon, or like try to like get people to talk to you, or give people hugs, stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that's boring. I want to take people on a motorcycle ride.
Okay.
That was my idea. Okay, that's cool. We'll just give a stranger a motorcycle ride. And so as we're getting set up, and as we're not even supposed to start shooting yet, this lady walks up, who's the one in this picture. Her name's Bonnie. And they had to cut out almost all of it because everything she said was, it wasn't sexual innuendo. It was sexual.
This is a homeless person?
No, she's just a senior citizen. Okay, she's 70.
But where do you know this person from?
She walked up to us on the street. And it was supposed to be one. We hadn't even started. We had this whole like scheme concocted for me to introduce myself to a stranger and offer a motorcycle, right?
Yes.
And instead, this lady just walked up to it. So we went with it. She's over 70. We put her on the back of my motorcycle, which is terrifying considering like what just happened to me last week. As we saw this, I had a wreck.
Yes.
And we drove her around. She hadn't been on a motorcycle in 50 years. I put her on the back. We had cameras following and all that. And, it was just, it is a cool idea, like to make the world a smaller place by getting to know strangers instead of not talking to people in the elevator or stores and stuff like that. But I just put a 70 something year old woman with two knee replacements on the back of my motorcycle and took her around.
Okay. And I think if I click the ad, I would see that.
There's a 30. Yeah. It's like a 30 second video. If you actually click the ad.
Yeah.
Instead of the photo
is cropped in an unusual way where it's sort of like cropped in. So I can
her
just
head
see,
looks huge.
Yeah. I can really just see, I thought you're sitting on her lap.
She looks like Krang. You remember Krang?
Yes. And I want to talk to you about Ninja Turtles too. So Malcolm, so companies just reach out to you and say, Malcolm, we need you to help us get the word out on social media about things.
Occasionally, like happens like that, and it's a cool idea. As much as it does, now that I'm looking at it, I could see where the confusion would come in from that photograph. The idea was kind of cool, so yeah, I'll help out.
How long ago was this taken? I feel like your hair is very long.
I got cut after very recently, so that's the longest it ever. It was never that long on the show or anything. That picture.
Yeah.
But so it's been cut since then. It's still perfectly long. Nobody get you nervous, but
yeah, don't get nervous, everybody.
But that was quite long.
Okay. Interesting. Malcolm, I've been following the Whiskey and Ninja Turtles blog recently.
Yeah.
And I know you've been what would you call that? Invigorated.
Reinvigorated.
Yes.
Started doing it again.
So the last couple of months, you've been posting quite a bit on the whiskeyandninjaturtles.com on the blog. A couple of topics that you took on recently. you spoke about the Deflategate.
I did. Well, not Deflategate in particular, just Tom Brady.
But you were sort of like, hey, get off Tom Brady's back.
Well, you can hate. I understand why people hate the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. But Tom Brady is the realization of the American dream. And I say this because, one, he's like the quarterback for undisputedly, statistically, the best team in the past decade, right?
Yes.
So already, and the team name's the Patriots. That helps. Two, you're married to Giselle, most recognizable supermodel in the world. But that's not the point. The point is that he's not like Cam Newton for football people or like Colin Kaepernick, these huge mountains of Peyton Manning, 6'6". Look at the picture. If you're listening to this, Google Tom Brady combine. The photo of Tom Brady when he entered the NFL.
Yes.
He looks like just a normal guy.
But isn't that because he took steroids once he got to the NFL?
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, everybody says that. I'm sure like he started working out, but the point
that's
is,
what I heard.
Well, of course you did, Jets boy. But but the point is that he's just an average dopey looking guy.
Yeah.
And look at what he's accomplished. We can all do that. He's the American dream.
Yeah. But isn't it also true that he gave the gun to Aaron Hernandez also?
Oh my God.
Wasn't it that?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the bitter coming out of your face right now.
Who's your team? I know you played
Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Grew up in Texas.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, Cowboys. So finally we had a year where we get excited about it.
And then you feel like Cowboys got screwed.
No, because we got lucky in the wild card game.
It was karma, and then the Packers got screwed.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that officiating is affecting things so much.
But. So, and then ultimately the Seahawks get screwed. So it's the pay it forward of NFL karma in the Super Bowl.
Basically, the whole NFC was toast from the get go.
Okay. You also blogged about the State of the Union address.
I did. Oh, what happened? Well, I didn't blog about it.
You tweeted about it.
I tweeted about it.
And it got picked up on by E.
My mom was so proud. Malcolm, you tweeted about something not Harry Potter or Disney movies.
Yes.
And it got picked up somewhere because she has the Google alert set up. So she saw that like E Online picked up a tweet I sent out about the State of the Union address, which was cool. It was like right by Patton Oswalt. I did take a modicum of, you know, pride in that. But again, I'm like, Mom, it's E. It's not exactly CNN. This isn't something to get really excited about.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
But it was cool. Yeah, I am oddly into politics. I do follow it.
Really? What about politics? Do you have a certain side that you talk about?
I identify, I'm talking about like my gender now. I identify libertarian. Definitely.
Okay. Libertarian.
And I tend to vote Republican though.
Okay.
I've voted for Democrats before, but I tend to vote Republican.
Now, for, you know, I'm not a big politics guy, and I used to be more, and I really sort of like, you know, you can't be, you know, going back and watching every season of Survivor and really keep your finger on the pulse.
Gotta have priorities.
Yes. So the uninitiated, the libertarian, and it stands for what?
So it means that for economic things like taxes, and money issues, it means you're Republican is the easiest way to say it.
Yes.
Conservative. It means you want, you know, no taxes.
Yes. But
basically,
but
less taxes,
you want the
government
out of your business.
Basically, that's what libertarian is. I don't want anybody to tell me what the hell to do.
And that's why you're saying that a vote for Spencer is a vote for the man.
Yeah, basically. Spencer is the machine. Yeah, libertarian means,
wow.
Libertarian means you want to do whatever the hell you want. You don't want people to tell you.
You also lobbied against selfies on your blog.
There is nothing I hate in the world more than selfies. I think it's the stupidest
thing. What about selfies?
There's a thing called a belfie stick. Now apparently it's a butt selfie. It's what spurred this whole rage for like a 12-hour period. The selfie stick is a thing. And
yes.
I'm going to break one over my knee.
I recently purchased the selfie stick.
Well, it's been fun, Rob. I enjoy doing this podcast.
Oh, you're out?
Bye.
You're out? Yes. So you're against the selfies.
Selfies are the worst.
Yes. And is that why you protested the selfies by not taking any with the Mr. Survivor belt?
No, the two aren't tied. I know that it was
you weren't making a statement against selfies?
I was not making a statement. I was just scared that like pretend cowboys were going to steal it. And then I thought it was lost. The belt has had a very exciting year.
Yes. Why are you so against selfies? Why shouldn't people take pictures?
Well, you should take pictures. Like if you're in a big group saying that's fine, but and it's not just taking a picture. Like the story goes, I took a picture to send my mom cause I was in a tuxedo for a wedding and I never, you know, do that. And then it ended up on a Christmas card and I hate my life, but that's okay. But it's the people who like, you end up like, oh my God, I got to go to the Dodgers game. I'm going to take 18 pictures of myself to prove that I was at it. And then I'm going to incessantly check my phone to see how many people have liked and commented on it. It's that when you do it for such narcissistic reasons, and unfortunately so many selfies are for narcissistic reasons, you're just trolling for praise. That's what it comes down to. And it's just, it's obnoxious.
Yeah. I bought the selfie stick. It was $9.99 in Rite Aid.
Literally never been less interested in anything you said.
At the counter. And I said like, oh, this would be good. I could make vlogs. And because it's like, I could like walk around with it. This is like, I could sort of like walk and talk and like be like walking and like explaining something.
Again, different because, well, I mean, obviously I've hosted a show now and you do a podcast. There's an element of narcissism. We think people need to hear what we're saying, right?
Yeah. Well,
there's an element there.
It's for the production.
Yes, but when it's like you make a living off this, that's okay. That's different. It's
like
different.
I think of it like, oh, this is like a monopod that I can hold myself and use my iPhone to record video.
That's different. You're not doing it to show how much fun you're having at Disneyland and to make everyone else jealous.
Yeah, or show my butt.
Well, I mean, I've Nicole sent me a few
things. No, that's not true. That's not true. Let me take a few more questions, and then I've got a quiz for you.
Let's do it.
A quiz. All right. So let's see. Let's take a question here from John Johnson. Wants to know, any tips to give Mr. Survivor 2015?
Man, you know what? Mr. Survivor 2015, I don't know who you are yet. I have done you a great service by setting the bar so low that no matter what you do, you are going to be revered. So first of all, I'd like to say you're welcome. Second of all, make sure if you're going to have guests over to your house that the belt's not out. Because if you end up misplacing it for a short amount of time, you're going to lose sleep at night. It's terrifying. So take it out, show it to people, be proud. But make sure you don't leave it somewhere where house guests might steal it.
Brian Hayslip wants to know, will you use Airbnb to rent your room to me? Will you rent your rooms to anybody?
No, I'm just a spokesperson. It's like when...
Why not? Why don't you have one less stranger?
I do have one less stranger. It's that little old woman who looked like she's sitting on my lap. I've already done my duty.
And it was just one. It wasn't two less strangers, and right?
No, the campaign is one less stranger. I've already done my duty.
You did it.
Well, it's also like there's those spokespeople for like herpes medicine that don't actually have herpes.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Joey Tribbiani, actually, right?
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah. I'm not like, I support what Airbnb is trying to do, but you're not going to sleep in my bed.
That's right. That's right. Okay. I have a question for you that is from, Brendan Fitzpatrick. Is there going to be a second season of Wayfaring? I felt like the show found a good stride around the fourth episode, and I really enjoyed it. Any thoughts on Wayfaring 2?
So Wayfaring 2 in the format that we ran, no. But we're in development to hopefully be shooting something this summer that's travel-related. It's not Wayfaring or anything. Like, I can't go into too many details, but that's basically been the day job for the past couple months is being in development. We're really close to being full go for pre-production.
Yes.
For this summer.
Around the World for Free season 2 was hosted by a different person than Around the World for Free season 1, and it was Jeff Schroeder. Is there any thought to try to get pitch Jeff Schroeder as the host of Wayfaring 2 so he's out of the picture and you could host Survivor Live?
Interesting. You're much more nefarious than I am. I'm just like, everybody be happy. No, there's nothing like that. I can't go into too many details. It's not anything like the first one. I mean, the
pink
tone,
orangutan will be mad if you do that.
Yeah,
right?
The pink gorilla will obviously be involved.
Yes.
I'll be involved. It's still travel related, but literally everything else has kind of changed.
I liked when you went on the Breaking Bad tour.
I didn't know anything about Breaking Bad. It was the hardest thing to sell.
Is it now the Better Call Saul tour?
It needs to be. I saw the trailer for that. It looked good.
Yes. Very excited about the Better Call Saul.
Tone and humor will be the same thing for what we're working on. But yeah, very, very different.
Okay. I have a quiz for you. I know you are a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles expert.
Oh, no.
Would you?
No. I'm not going to do good.
You're not going to do good. You don't want to attempt the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trivia.
I'll do it, but it's not going to be good. And I'm not going to be embarrassed it's not good because the love of the turtles is more... Wait, is this like movie or cartoons?
I believe it's from the...
I can do the movies, the cartoons.
The movies. I don't know if these are specifically from the movies.
Okay,
it's probably a mixture.
All right. I'll do the quiz. I'm not going to be good. What happens is you name your blog Whiskey and Ninja Turtles.
Right.
The only things I get for birthdays and Christmases now are whiskey products.
Yes.
And Ninja Turtle clothing. Ninja Turtle everything.
Now, I know your birthday is a few months away still.
Yes.
Do you know about the contest for Missy and Baylor to come to your birthday party?
No, I don't know what this is.
Okay, well, maybe.
After some of the things I live tweeted about Missy, I'd be surprised if they actually wanted to come out.
But you think they wouldn't come to your birthday party?
I live tweeted the finale this past December, and I was quite harsh about Missy.
And you were upset with Missy.
Here,
listen. Hold on. Hold on. Let me play this for you. This is the contest that Missy and Baylor are holding.
Hey, Survivor fans. My birthday's coming up, and we love birthdays so much.
Roger that.
That we want to come to yours. So, write us a letter and tell us how we can make your birthday better. And we'll just show up.
Whoa!
What is that?
Yeah.
What is that for? Is that for like charity or something? Or
no,
like,
that's they're just going to come to your birthday.
They're just going to show up at people's birthdays.
Yeah.
They just invited themselves to the entire world's birthdays.
We love birthdays so much. Roger that.
Yeah. Roger that.
Roger that.
You have a birthday, they're just going to show up.
What? I don't understand. I'm so confused.
May 7th is Malcolm's birthday, if anybody is interested, Baylor.
I'd like to officially exclude myself from this contest. What? You can't just invite yourself to my birthday party.
Yeah.
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Yeah, Missy's driving. It's her party.
This is just trolling for birthday invites.
Yeah, they're coming to your birthday. All right. So,
Ninja Turtle quiz.
Yeah, Ninja Turtle quiz. All right. Cool. Question number one. Do we have stakes on this?
How many questions are there?
I've got several. I've got
several.
A bunch, very specific.
Thanks, Rob.
A bunch on this paper, and I've got a bunch that were user generated Ninja Turtle questions.
Okay, I should say that I'm not a super I don't know everything about the turtles. I just appreciate them so much that I had to include them in the box. So I'm not going to knock this out of the park, but
okay.
I will try.
All right. Let's see how you do. Okay. What is Master Splinter's real name? Is it multiple choice?
Oh, God.
Okay, Master Splinter's real name. Is it Hamato Yoshi, Yamato Roshi, Tamato Yoshi, or Masato Yoshi?
What was the first one? Hamato Yoshi? That's not the answer. I know that that's his master before he leaves Japan.
Yes.
I know that.
Yes.
Well, I think it was the last one. I'm just guessing.
Masato though. Yoshi.
It's the only thing it could be.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Masato Yoshi is a former baseball player for the New York Mets. Tamato Yoshi.
It couldn't be Tomato Yoshi.
Yes.
That is stupid. That sounds like a power-up from Super Mario Brothers.
Yes. Okay. Where do the Ninja Turtles get their pizza from? Antonio's, Angelo's, Anthony's, or Antonio's Pizzeria?
Before you read me the list of answers, I'm like, it's an Italian name that starts with A.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, there was an Antonio's or an Angelo's or something. They were all A's.
Yeah, it's Antonio's.
I said that.
Okay. Who's the tallest Ninja Turtle? Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael, or Leonardo?
Well, in the movies?
In the movies?
This is so vague. There's so many different iterations. I would guess that it's Donatello.
Donatello is correct. That's right. That's right. I don't have the bell. So
is this from like the new movie? I don't know where this is blasphemous. I'm 2 for 3 though, so I'm good.
Yeah, that is very good. All right. So last question. What's the first rule of being a Ninja Turtle? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. It's do no harm unless you mean to do harm, then do lots of harm. Be neither seen nor heard. Protect your comrades, or love many, harm few, trust no one.
This is the second one.
Be neither seen nor heard.
That's the ninja code.
I'm sorry. It's do no harm unless you mean to do harm, then do lots of harm.
Where did that come from?
I'm sorry.
Who's providing these questions?
Dead woman!
Yeah. Sorry.
No, this is dumb. That quiz is false.
All right, and Ding, Marry, Kill, Shredder, Krang, or Bebop and Rocksteady?
Oh, yeah, I get Bebop and Rocksteady both?
Yes.
You have to...
That's from Mike Bloom.
You marry Krang.
Yes.
You definitely marry Krang.
Why is that?
You just leave him in the other room, you don't have to deal with him. And okay. Then you have to... Dang. Oh, God. I guess Ding Shredder, just so it's not bestiality.
Okay. That's always a good idea.
I think that's the safest way to play that.
That's a good idea. All right. Well, I could go on and on with the Ninja Turtle questions, but...
make sure you got the right answers first. You need to check this nonsense beforehand. This rubbish.
All right. Who's going to win the Super Bowl, Malcolm? Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. You have to cheer for Tom Brady. He's cheering for America. And Richard Sherman bugs me. I respect that he'll call the NFL out, and I think he's really good. And it just bugs me though.
Yeah. You're not on the Seattle bandwagon at all.
No.
Okay.
Over them. No, I'm cheering for the Patriots, and I hate the Patriots, but I'm cheering for the Patriots.
Yes. by being a libertarian, is that like that you don't want so many rules and the Patriots are also similar that they don't want, they're like, hey, NFL, get out of our business. We want to put our footballs however we want them.
I align with the Patriots ideologically very strongly.
Yes. Yes.
No, right. I just can't. I don't like the Seahawks.
Malcolm, we've covered it all. We've talked about Survivor 30, Survivor 29, Miss Survivor, Mr. Survivor. The Patriots, the Ninja Turtles. Was there anything else that you wanted to get into today?
I don't know. I think we've hit every topic that matters for the planet. I think we've touched on
the love life. Malcolm is good.
I got a lady friend now.
Okay. All right. Survivor is off the market.
I knew that the rain was coming to an end, so I better take advantage of this leverage now.
Right. Like musical chairs, you want to sit down while there's still a chair before the music stops.
Once I lose my belt, I have nothing to woo potential suitors with. Yes.
So. I brought this also to impress Mr. Survivor. I brought the Rob has a fantasy football league, the championship title belt, which is mine. I won the 20-team fantasy football league. I rode on the back of Odell Beckham Jr. all the way to a championship title with Tom Brady as my quarterback. How about that?
Oh, you hypocrite.
He was cheating the whole time. And I enjoyed the spoils.
You're willing to bet he didn't get caught.
Yes. I rode that all the way home with Tom Brady.
I will say the fantasy football championship belt is of higher quality than the Mr. Survivor championship belt.
Yes. Okay.
I just want everybody to know that. So if you're thinking, you have two life choices, you can either go through the entire casting process of Survivor, and then compete it out for the Mr. Survivor belt, or you can just be in the fantasy football league.
Yeah.
You want the fantasy football belt.
Because I had to beat 19 other people to win this bad boy here.
And you only have to beat out like 10,000 people to get on Survivor. So
yeah, was it 19 other guys? How many people were on? So you had 20 people on Survivor Cagayan, right? Oh, sorry, on Survivor Karamoan.
Right.
But then only...
So it was 19 total boys.
Yes. I think that there was 20 on Blood versus Water also. So it was,
oh, you right, did, right,
so we
right.
both
yeah,
we
yeah.
both beat out 19 other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, that's fair.
Then so we're the same.
Then then yeah.
We're all the right. same.
There you go.
All right. Well, Malk, very excited to have you back here. This was very fun. I feel like we learned a lot today.
Yes. Many lessons were provided for humanity.
All right. We'll come up with a plan for the, what would you call that? The transition plan for Mr. Survivor.
Yeah.
We're crowning Mr. Survivor the night before the Survivor premiere, which is going to be on, I believe, February 24th will be the finals. And then 25th is the premiere of Survivor, 90-minute premiere. Of Survivor, Survivor 30, Survivor Worlds Apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be very exciting. What will you be doing on premiere night? Do you watch the show live or do you watch it on the DVR?
No, I watch it. I'll watch the premiere live, especially because this one's so hyped.
Yes.
I mean, they've turned out the marketing for this thing. So I'll be watching it for sure.
I almost forgot. Do we have a hashtag for this podcast? For people that made it this far into the podcast.
If you made it this far, I mean, you just deserve a pat on the back.
Yes.
First of all, much
more
don't
than
worry
that.
About yeah, the hashtag or off that. What's the biggest hashtag Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. No,
hashtag,
no,
hashtag
a lot of people are gonna
be RHAP loves the Patriots.
All right.
Hashtag RHAP loves the Patriots.
There you have it from Mr. Survivor. He called it RHAP loves the Patriots, whether you're talking about the football team or people who love America.
It's
that's
the
right.
football team.
And, you know, as the great Geraldo once said,
screw the terrorists, we've won.
Yes, screw the terrorists, we won. We're all Patriots. All right. Malcolm, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody here at Podcast One for helping us do this interview outside of the studio. Looking forward to hearing what your comments are. And of course, we got plenty more to come next week. Make sure you subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe on iTunes, or you could download the Podcast One app as well and listen to us all there for Android and iOS, all sorts of good stuff. So take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.